is iconic.
My name is Ben. I am playing a fighter named Sir Hector Isinglass. He is the sole male heir of the Lords of Hyrok and has unclaimed ancestral holdings in Drakenholm.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm playing Grognar, the half-orc barbarian. And my one unique thing is I contain the soul of the White.
Hi, I'm Evan. I'm playing a paladin named Harrier Wheelwright. And Harrier's one unique thing is that something Harrier has could destroy the Lich King or restore the life of the Wizard King. He does not know what it is.
Hi, I'm Becca, and I am playing a halfling ranger, Tava Greenthumb, who is the last heir of the Greenthumb Duchy, which was swallowed by a hellhole.
I am Rob Hanso. I'm playing Quincy, no family name. Quincy is a bard. I promise you that my one unique thing is not something that screws the party in any way or hurts the other player characters. I promise you that.
So, yes, I've activated the defenses, and I have trapped them all in the Tower of Prophetic Instigation. At least that's what where they seem to be at. As I said before, this age's Archmage has just done just very slipshod work on wards and defenses of Imperial property and limitations on arcane experimentation.
Is the tower's name because of the books that are there or because of something that could be accomplished while eliminating villains?
Ah, I am so glad you asked. Yes. So there's two types, two branches of philosophy when it comes to prophecy. It's falling into a cadence here. Yes, two types. Some believe that prophecy is merely foreknowledge, while others believe prophecy is a roadmap on how to accomplish some things. And so this really holds the librarian who built this tower was clearly biased and believed that most prophecies were of the instigatory manner, as opposed to the sit back and wait and let them happen manner. That's a lazy prophet, if you ask me.
Or is it perhaps the middle path, which states that a prophecy could in fact, while doing nothing, the simple fact that you have foreseen the future could cause that particular future to take place?
My father always said, the man who stands on a fence inevitably racks himself, and I feel like that is where your prophetic leanings will take you. You will be racked right on the pokey fence of prophecy.
Well, thankfully, my warrior forebears have foreseen this as well. Behold the card piece.
So, Tava, you are convinced that you are in the back of a behemoth right now.
Yeah, that's slightly terrifying. We're still in the same room where we fought all the scrollums and book.
You are.
Can I peek out into the hallway?
As the rest of you are congregated around Oleandro, Tava like runs over to the window, looks over the window ledge, eyes gets a little wide, goes running back across the room to the doorway that Oleandro and his two golems, not scrolls, just regular golems, entered. And so beyond, you see what was once a magnificent library. It has seen better days. You can see the footprints of both Oleandro and the two golems in about a half inch of dust. The doorway opens up onto a balcony, and there is to the left stairs that descend, and to the right a rather large cobweb that looks like it has recently been split, pushed to the side. And you can see heading up, it looks like a lot of people have gone up the stairs recently. There is a large opening beyond the balcony, just this drop that extends down more floors than you can count before your vision kind of goes away, limbed with books. You can see some of these levels seem to have possibly taken some damage recently. There are scorch marks, there are char marks, there are places where it looks like something has like eaten away at the stone and wood. There are other levels that look pristine and actually well taken care of. But the thing that you really kind of stands out to you is how chaotic the library is, at least in this section. It looks as if, so Teyva, how well traveled are you?
I am well traveled in the area we started in.
The Queenswood?
Yeah. And maybe a little bit outside of that, but I have not seen the other side of the empire yet.
Okay, so what you can tell from this is it looks like every floor and sometimes parts of multiple floors were built by different hands with wildly different materials and scales and aesthetic leanings. It really looks as if somebody maybe broke apart a bunch of buildings and shook them all into the same bag and shook that bag up and then poured the tower back out from it.
Cool. So it looks confusing. Excellent.
Also, give me a wisdom-based background roll. What kind of background do you have for noticing details quickly?
Tracker.
Give me a tracker roll.
13.
You clearly see about two levels up. You can just make out a large archway as if it leads into a tunnel that kind of extends in the opposite direction of the window you looked out. And you can see something with a small snout poked between the railings on that far balcony. With a 13, you can't quite catch more than the fact that its mouth is filled with sharp yellow teeth, and it goes, "Merd!" and goes running off.
I will call back to Grognar, because he's been the one who's paid probably the most attention to my ramblings. It's like, "Grognar, there's things in here. Let's go fight them."
His nose is in a book on gong farming right now.
I don't like that.
I like how you're like, clearly Grognar is paying attention to me. You turn around and Grognar's reading a book.
Teyva's right. Thank you, librarian. Thank you for all the works on prophecy. And Teyva has just provided an up-to-the-limit prophecy that there are things moving around. Let's go to the tower. Everybody? Tower?
To the tower.
Get it done. And I trust that the librarian, you know, he's already agreed to search for things on gong farming, and God knows what else we asked for.
Yes, he has. And he's like, "All right, be careful. Try not to destroy too many books. Whatever you do, please remember." And you guys have just kind of run up the side of the stairs at this point. Now, Rob, can we take like 5 minutes? I know that Quincy has some new abilities. And we have that special music that says we're dropping into, you know, Rob's designer's corner. What are the updates to the bard for this playtest?
Bard talents are now instruments. And the instrument sort of determines the type of magic the bard uses. The bard doesn't have to be actually playing drums or flutes or doing strings or brass. Or using their voice or dance, like there's six of them. But they've got that music in them. And so whenever they use any music or any spells, they're able to access it. As you know, Quincy, you found Quincy sitting on a pile of goblin corpses playing a flute of some type, I believe it was. So Quincy has the music, the magic of voice, flutes, and strings, some sort of lute. Anyway, as what you guys will discover as we start a fight is that each of the bard's talents provides combat riffs, which are things that can happen when the bard hits with a melee basic attack, and you'll find out what they are. They're different. Healing magic, which is generally twice a battle, I can arrange to heal somebody, but there's a special trigger for it. And the triggers are different based on the instruments. A miss me effect, which is somebody misses me with an attack, and then the bard does things to them or for you. And unique attributes, and I'll mention what the unique attributes. For the flute, that's the tricky one. It's called random twitter. On the flute, I get to roll a trick die once per day. If you remember the cleric's trickster domain, well, once per day, the bard has that. Sort of. Strings? Oh, strings is interesting because you guys need to know this. You know how sometimes you run out of actions and you want to take one more little quick action, but you don't have it?
Yeah.
Twice per day, I can let one of you donate a quick action to someone else. Like, it's called a chord. And I guess the unique one for Jack of Spells is from the voice, and you don't need to worry about that, except I'm going to be doing something quite unbard-like several times, oftentimes. Which in my case is I take a match and I strike it and I blow, and that's Burning Hands. So far, the playtests have been going well, and I sort of decided that since there really wasn't, I don't know, this is to be harsh, but bards have never been absolutely brilliant, and there's never been a bardic structure that I really like thought was great. So I'm trying something completely different. And they don't have flexible attacks, but instead they have things that they can use when they hit with an attack, and the splice that along with things that happen when people miss them. So we'll see what happens. I've got some other tricks I didn't mention that will be more fun to reveal during combat. And I'm also, help remind me of this, bards all have the social skills. Up to 3 times a day, they can reroll a failed social skill roll. There are other people playing drums, dance, and brass bards, which is sort of the opposite of me. The dance one has been fun because I've been playing in games where all the bards want to be dancers anyway. So it was finally time to like go ahead and be like, okay, all right, here, show us your performance dance.
Tava, do you see what the gong farmers have to do? I don't want to do that.
I take the book and I say, okay, follow me. Come on, let's go.
Oh, heck, I should have spent recoveries.
With that thought, you were reading. That's right. You were too busy reading. This is what reading gets you, Grognar.
So oddly enough, I was already there, JM.
Oh, okay.
But...
does it have in the drop-down menu, you should be able to pick your name?
I have, and it's giving me password problems.
There's no password.
All right, so just...
just leave it blank.
So, all right. So question, our time in the library, was that a quick rest?
Oh, there we go.
I mean, you could have spent recoveries there, yeah. Like,
I believe that there's... almost no game master inside of JM who would prevent a beloved player from using a recovery in such an obvious moment of chat.
He cursed me with the gong farmer thing.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault, Mark. So, as you get up the stairs, Quincy, you and Tava are the first ones through the door. And it is a small... you kind of run up the stairs, Tava, leads into a long hallway. As you guys move across... You can see that the hallway is kind of, it's made of stone, but it does seem to flex and move just a little bit. And there are windows on either side. And this is the first time any of you but Tava get to see the fact that like you are well above the treetops and the mountains look fairly organic. And the clouds seem to be rolling kind of beneath you, like moving about. And you can see there are other large stone buildings beneath you and other towers that reach up as high as this bridge, if not higher. And this area is lit by soft amber stones that are set into the stone, giving off this kind of lambent glow. And you can see there's a lot of tracks on the floor, but you are moving past them as Tava is leading you bravely. Recklessly? Bravely?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both? Little column A, little column B, into battle. And as you enter into, you can see this room, and it says, "Abandon all pasts, ye who enter here." And the doors have been thrown open, and you can see that there's clearly a stairway on the other side of the room, but the room is dominated by two statues. One is of the Archmage on the right, and he is holding a book and kind of a wizard's staff in his other hand. And the one on the left is one none of you initially recognized. You can see she is holding a massive tome with like little sheaves of paper sticking out of it. And the tome has chains, and the chains like wrap around her arms, and her face is completely blank at this point. But what really draws your attention is that as you walk in, there are books and scrolls just flying everywhere. And there are about 8 small draconic creatures, and they are in the process of ransacking this room. And you can see there are, Tava, to your tracker's eye, you can see that there are larger footprints heading further up the stairs. But some of them kind of, they keep running over to this one creature. So they're primarily in blue scales and black scales and red scales. And they keep running over to the one in blue scales and showing him books, and they're like, nah, nah. And they hold up another one, nah. And he sees Tava as she comes bursting through the door with Quincy not far behind.
Stop yourself! You're scared!
Is what it shouts. And so we're gonna roll for initiative.
We'll be back with more of our 13th Age actual play. All music for the show has been used in partnership with BattleBards. Visit BattleBard.com for all your RPG music needs.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.